You know, any Christian who finds more excitement in watching a movie, which gives him a lot of entertainment and pleasure, than, I'm not saying it's wrong, some movies are okay, it's okay, but finds more pleasure in that than in getting to know God through the Bible, I think he's a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. There are so many people who know so little of the Bible, and they still have so much time to waste on television. Now, if you know the Bible well, fine, okay. So many who don't know the Bible well. Think of our children. Are you training them to get to know God? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But they hold a form of godliness. They're not like those godless people and say, we have no time for church. No, they go to church. And they go to a church that preaches godliness. But all these things in their private life, I look at it like this. Their attitude to Christianity is, what is the minimum I have to do to be considered a good member of a New Covenant church? What's the minimum? What's the minimum number of meetings I have to go to keep my testimony good and make sure that everybody thinks I'm a good wholehearted brother or wholehearted sister? That's a completely wrong attitude. It shows I'm a hypocrite. If I'm truly wanting the power of godliness, it doesn't matter to me one bit what other people think about me. I want to see what the Lord sees in my daily life, whether I'm really seeking to live by the principle of godliness in every area of my life. So to put it in a very simple way, Adam's life is centered around himself. Everything revolves around himself. How will this benefit me? This other thing that's come up now, will it benefit me? Will it benefit my family? Will that be good for my children? There are a lot of people who go to a church, they're thinking, this is a good place for my children. This will benefit my children. This is good for me as well. Everything is centered around themselves. Whereas Jesus' life was not centered like that. Jesus' life was, how will this benefit God and his purpose? If I do this, how will it affect God and his purpose? It is always, there are two centers. One is self and the other is God. And in a very simple way, to take up the cross means I finished with self as a center and I'm making God as a center. That's what the Lord told Peter, get behind me, Satan, because you're centered in yourself. You're interested in man's interests. You're not interested in God's interests. Is that such a big crime? To be centered in our own interests? Well, it's not a crime for people in the world, but if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it certainly is the biggest crime. See, Jesus didn't say that to the Pharisees. That's okay, you live as you like. But Peter, you claim to be my disciple. You claim to want to enter into the new covenant. And you're still interested in yourself? Not possible. That's the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Why get behind me, Satan? Because your life is centered in yourself. You're always thinking of, how is that going to help me? Now, you may say that's impossible for anybody to live saying, how will it be centered in God? Is there anybody lived like that? I think Jesus lived like that. I believe Paul lived like that. I mean, if Paul was thinking of, how will it benefit me? I'll tell you what he would have done. His father was a rich businessman in Tarsus. He'd have gone back and said, I'll be a part of the church in Tarsus and live a sort of a comfortable life there and, serve the Lord, go regularly to the meetings every Sunday, sing the songs and maybe learn some musical instrument and play there also, get some honor for that also, and be a Christian and be a part of a new covenant church in Tarsus. What's wrong with that? He wouldn't be committing adultery or telling lies. But he'd have ended his life without fulfilling God's purpose for his life. I'm not saying that you have to go to the jungles of Africa to fulfill God's purpose in life. My point is, are you really convinced that the only way you can stand before the Lord without any regret, if you say, Lord, I want your interest to be the center of my life. And I'll tell you something, he'll take very good care of your interests if you put his interest first. If you say, Lord, I want to seek your interest in your kingdom uppermost my life, you think God will make you suffer? Impossible. He always has our best at heart. Look at Jesus' life, the most fulfilling, the most perfect life that has ever lived. And that's why I ask you, do you believe that that was the most perfect life anybody lived? Do you believe that Jesus was sent to earth, not like other believers say, just to die for the sins of the world? No. He was sent to earth to show us how man should live. That's why he lived for the 33 years. And then to die for the sins of the world. So we don't believe as other Christians that Jesus just came to die for the sins of the world. So then the statement that he made so often saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. I'll say, Lord, I can't die for the sins of the world. How can I follow you? If that's the only thing you came for, to die for the sins of the world, you tell me, follow you. I can't follow you. How can I die for the sins of the world? But why could he say, follow me, because of the way he lived for 33 years. And that is the Christ we need to see revealed in us. A Christ who never sought his own interests. Let me show you a few verses. John 6:38, first of all. These are not new things, but I find that there's a great need to emphasize this again and again and again, because we live in a world and a Christianity of tremendous amount of self-deception. John 6:38, Jesus said, I came from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He always wanted to do the will of his Father, whatever it was, because he knew that was the best. Now, if I were to ask you, do you believe that God's will for your life is the best? Every one of you will say yes. Do you believe that God's will for your life, every single day of your life, is the best? Yes, I believe that. Well, then you would choose it. And very often that clashes with our will in some point. And that's where Jesus denied his own will and did the will of his Father. He says, I come from heaven only for one reason. This is the one verse which I call the one-line autobiography. Autobiography is where a person writes about his own life. The one-line autobiography that Jesus wrote about his own life on earth. His entire life on earth, he could sum up in one sentence. I never did my own will, but I did the Father's will. That is his autobiography of his own life. And that is the most wonderful life that this world has ever seen. We acknowledge that. But you see the root of it? He never did his own will. Okay, the other passage is Romans 15 and verse 4, where it tells us about this life of Jesus. Romans 15 and verse 4. Verse 3, not verse 4. Romans 15, verse 3. Christ did not please himself. So in John 6:38 and Romans 15:3, I see the way Jesus lived on earth. He never sought to please himself. He only sought to please the Father. And in pleasing the Father, if it made him happy, well and good. But if it didn't make him happy, that's also fine. He was not against his own happiness or against what is good for him. But if doing the will of the Father made him happy or sad, made no difference. I want to do the will of the Father. But I will never seek my own will, and I never seek to please myself. This is what it means to take up the cross. I just want to make it clear. And when Jesus spoke about building the church and taking up the cross together, he was saying that you really can't build the church unless you see these things together.